You're listening to The Bill Murphy Show, the music interview show featuring the best in the business. From behind the scenes, in the studio, and on the stage. Available by subscription for free on iTunes and at BillMurphyShow.com. And now, here's your host, Bill Murphy.
And now here's another brand new digital broadcast on this. Let me do some math real quick. Monday, August 27th, 2012. Brought to you by our friends at Lulu's Bait Shack, Fort Lauderdale Beach, right there on A1A in Beach Place. Live music, great fresh Florida seafood, and those famous fishbowl drinks. Proud supporters of the Bill Murphy Show, and also our friends at Millennium Laser Eye Center, Dr. Corey Lesner and his staff. Big music fans and big supporters of the show. Click on their links on our homepage. Show them some love. And you know, you can get LASIK done by the best over at Millennium Laser Eye Center, no matter where you live. Pay a visit to South Florida and go see him. A live in-studio performance. I think this guy is on the Bill Murphy Show Hall of Fame for the most appearances on the show. Directly and indirectly. He's someone who's brought me a lot of guests under his label umbrella. Recommended a lot of fine artists that I otherwise would never have known about. And if you're in the Miami music scene at all, you know this guy, and we're all very proud of the job he's done putting Miami's music scene on the map. Fernando Perdomo's in here in person, buddy. It's so good to see you, and welcome back to Florida.
Wow, this has been fantastic. I miss it. it's been really, really cool.
You miss it. And the first thing we have to do right off the bat is call you out. And as I'm sure a lot of people have been doing, because not only did he say that he would not move to L.A., but he also sang that in a song. It's a title of one of your one of Dreaming in Stereo's songs. I really took it to heart when you sang those words. We were very proud of the fact that you made Miami your home. You put us on the map, as I mentioned, and now you've left us and become the West Coast traitor that you promised you wouldn't be.
Well, hold on. I am actually doing I'm doing a lot of promo for Miami out there. I've been kind of like, let's just say that you guys have a spy out there. I'm really kind of like trying to push all sorts of great Miami music out there, and it's been really, really cool. But Miami will always be my home. And as far as that song, my official statement is I've made a career out of being hungry, and I got so hungry I ate my words. Oh, well.
Oh, a lyric of yours.
But the deal is that...
Now, you know I'm teasing.
Oh, no, it's all right. It's all right. It's all good. But I've had a great time promoting my music out there and doing some really, really cool things. And my main goal is to make Miami proud.
Now, and anybody that's been following your adventures in California, and your posts and your appearances, performances, there's a new sort of shape and dynamic to your sound and your image already, just from being there, just from automatic influence. You like banged out a quick record about named after all the streets in the area. It was beautifully done. It seems like you just really got grabbed by the culture out there and became part of it very, very quickly. Is there a history with you in LA prior to this trip?
Yes, I have visited LA at least once a year since I became a professional musician.
As like you do.
Right. And it's always been one of the big central hubs of the music that I'd love to do. And I've played all the great venues out there, touring with Christian Castro and Paulina Rubio and different artists. I've played the Universal, I've played the Kodak Theater, and I've played all these different places. And then I also would go out there with my different bands and play showcases. About 6 years ago, I was in a band called Price with Chris Perez, the Perez brothers, and the band got signed to Geffen, and I decided to come back home and not pursue that. But LA was almost my home, and now it is my home, but technically I'm living in Reseda, which is about 25 miles north of LA.
So close. I get
to experience both the best of both worlds, because I live in a nice suburban area that's still right off the 101 near Hollywood, and I get to experience the nature and the valleys.
But
and
it
the
still takes you an hour to get anywhere, right?
Depends. It depends on the traffic. The 101 is the least of all evil highways over there. it's fantastic, but there's music going on every night, and there's all people that love to go see it.
And okay, there's been very many historic eras in the music scene in L.A. that you can describe and define just by bands and things that were going on, and places, of course, that are just iconic. How can you describe the character of the music coming out of L.A. now and what's going on there?
Well,
and,
there's
and are they ahead of the curve, okay, so to speak?
Just like Miami, there's a lot of variety and a lot of there's a lot of variety and there's a lot of diversity when it comes to the music out there. The big difference is that the industry out there is a little more. It's not as focused on one style. There's industry for everything out there, and there's also media for everything out there.
Uh-huh.
So it's a little easier to put out music and to have it be covered and have it be promoted and played on the radio and everything, because it's such a live music centric scene. It seems like every magazine I pick up has at least 10 pages about the local music scene out there, and that's a major thing that needs to change down here to be able to support the live music scene, is the fact that people that don't regularly or they're not friends of bands should be exposed to more, mm-hmm, local music. Because it is a major cultural export of Miami.
Yeah.
And there's some amazing, amazing artists out there that have strong Miami ties that are about to blow up. I mean, they're incredible. And that's been one of my favorite things, that's been going out there and following some of these Miami expatriates and what they do. And they're making major waves. I mean, you know, they're doing some incredible, incredible things.
I talked a little bit about this. A couple of my most recent guests were Chloe DeLandis, who I had the pleasure of talking to. We sort of discussed this, and I joked around about there being a mass exodus of Miami musicians to L.A. Also, Robert Elias was on, and we were talking about the live scene down here. And we sort of jokingly talked about the two cool for school attitude in some of the live venues in Miami, where, you know, if you're not avant-garde and completely different enough, you're not cool and you can't do poppy kind of stuff.
That's one of the things I talked about with Robert a lot, because I've tried to get Robert some gigs and some press, and they've always come back to me with, like, he's not different enough. He's not alternative enough. There's nothing newsworthy about it. And the thing that kind of, a big difference that I noticed between Miami scene and the LA scene is that in LA you're still getting all sorts of press about your music, about your, you know, you perfecting your art.
Uh-huh.
But down here it seems like unless you do something really, really weird or you really, 90% of the articles I see about music that down here is about stuff that the artists do, or stuff that the artists, or publicity stunts or other things.
Mm-hmm.
Just like today, New York Daily News, major newspaper in New York, just printed an entire page on the new album by Chris Price, which Chris Price was born and raised in Miami, and he moved out to LA 6 years ago, as I said, and he has just released an album called Homesick, which, funny enough, he recorded the entire album on his iPhone.
Oh, wow.
And it's an incredible, incredible album. I mean, it's just mind-blowing what this kid did with his phone. And the New York Daily Mail, the Daily News, has decided to create an entire article on not just the fact that he recorded on his phone, but the songwriting, and it praises his songwriting and praises his recording and his musicianship. And you don't see that. You know, down here, it's like, you opened up New Times and the first article, I mean, it was bad timing that I came down here for a week and I opened up the New Times and the first article was about a rapper and his swastika tattoos and fact that he wants to open up an escort service.
Right.
You know, and then the second article is about the DJ scene and the third article is about the club Love Hate being switched over to DJs, no live music anymore. So it was bad timing because, you know, I really, really want Miami to become one of the most respected scenes in music. It just seems like it's such a party town, and people just think of Miami as a party town, and they see I mean, I'm very happy that Rick Ross is actually on the cover of Rolling Stone this month because he is from Miami, and hopefully it will bring some interest into what else Miami has to offer. But you look at the cover, and Rick Ross is covered in tattoos, doesn't have a shirt on. It looks like he's, you know, at a VIP room in a club.
Yeah, we're like the Jersey Shore South down here.
Well, yeah.
Almost.
But,
sometimes.
By running the label, I mean, you know, if you guys check out forwardmotionrecords.com, you'll notice that I'm really trying to extract some really, really good singer-songwriter music out of this scene because we've always have had great singer-songwriter music. And for a while, the nation was taking advantage of the nation was finding out about it and accepting it through because there's a few things that people don't know about. It was the fact that, you know, the Mavericks did come from here. The Goods got signed to Mercury Records. There was a band called Nuclear Valdez, Fro Sosa, and the first ever MTV Unplugged featured them.
Right.
And that was a major thing.
Forget
that,
Saigon Kick.
Saigon Kick was great songwriters. They also were out there on the scene. And, and, you know, there was a lot of stuff that was actually happening that was pushing towards this. The Mary Carlson, the first independent video ever shown on VH1 was Mary Carlson, which was a local South Florida artist that was managed by Rich Aloha. And she was fantastic. And I'd like to see that happening again. I think it seems like one of the biggest problems in music these days is the fact that there's that whole aesthetic that, like, you know, we don't want apples from Florida. We want oranges from Florida. We don't want steel from Detroit. We want steel from Pittsburgh. We don't want cars from Jersey. We want cars from Detroit.
Right.
It's like when it comes down to it, we're not taking part of the main musical export of Miami, which is party music. Let's just face it, or Latin music. But I think things are going to change because there are some bands that are coming out of here that are not matching the mold. I mean, look, let's just all need to root for the Jacuzzi Boys and for what's that band from West Palm Beach that did all that, that got all that press that was really Surfer Blood. Beach Day is doing fantastic. They're touring the world right now and doing fantastic. And I hope that continues the trend because there's some great bands. Jacob Jeffries, of course, is killing it. I mean, you know, every time I go to look at this video, it's got, you know, another 10,000 views. So
greetings to the Jacob Jeffries boys on the road right now. As a matter of fact, if they're listening in, which I'm sure
that minister looks really familiar.
Yeah. And it's great that I ended up on the Frozen Still thing on the YouTube thing. So I got so much exposure from that. But, you know, I was made up.
Well, that's the first question you should ask when you're interviewing a YouTube video. Will I be in the middle?
Right. So in a nutshell, what you're saying is, and we really appreciate, is that not only are you expanding your musical horizons and shifting your career and being around the people you need to be around in LA, but it's also you're bringing the music of Miami to LA, which is, you know, hopefully a conduit to it being recognized nationally like it should be. So.
Well, yeah, I mean, but there's so many great artists out there from Miami and producers that are out there from Miami that are making Miami proud. And I think with their successes and with hopefully with the fact that they are going to mention Miami when they do make it, I think something's fantastic is about to happen to Miami.
I think it already is. Now, we have a lot of music to get to. There's a new record that is expected to drop tomorrow if everything goes as planned. And we want to talk a little bit about it and also play a couple of tracks from it. He's also got guitar in hand, ready to perform a couple of them live. So you guys are getting a little bit of a sneak preview at least 24 hours ahead of time from the release of the new one. Now, the new record you have officially titled what, first of all, and then talk a little bit about this process because it was different. This wasn't something you produced and engineered yourself. You put that in the hands of somebody else.
The album's called Home Is Wherever You Are, and it's something that I always, you know, I've always been very, very, like, into the concept of the singer-songwriter, and I've always been extremely influenced by singer-songwriter music. And what ended up happening is I've been working with this producer for about 12 years now, named Chris Rodriguez. And through him, I've had some of my biggest successes playing on major, major platinum-selling records. He's made a living as a very, very, very in-demand Latin and dance producer.
I actually met Chris probably 10 years ago, at least, through my sister. So greetings, Chris, if you're listening. It's been a long time since I saw him.
Yeah, well, Chris is been a major player in the Miami scene as far as production-wise for many different genres. He's really, really amazing at wearing different hats. Funny enough, I was working with him I played on a few Paulina Rubio records that we did with him. I've also worked with Jennifer Lopez with him and a few different people. And I was playing guitar on the record by Simone Kelly, which is Nina Simone's daughter, which he was producing.
Right.
And after the session, I played a few songs for him, and he really, really liked them. And he said, you know, I might have a really good idea as far as production for these songs. And I said, well, I've been interested in the concept of, you know, taking a break from producing myself and actually bringing in an outside producer. And if anybody is qualified for the job, it's Chris. He's really, really an incredible producer, incredible string and horn arranger. And his concept was to take away all the electric instruments and to make it more of an acoustic, symphonic, and cinematic sounding record. And when you hear it, the basics is my acoustic guitar and my voice. And then we surrounded it with basically the equivalent of a Burt Bacharach style arrangement.
Nice.
So instead of drums, most of the songs have timpani and marching snares and swelled cymbals. There's flutes, there's French horns, there's trumpets, there's trombones, there's a regular piano, there's toy piano. There's harmonium, there's a bunch of different things, but everything is acoustic.
Placed perfectly. If you get an opportunity to strap on some headphones for this, or you got a good sounding system, put your ears between the channels on this one and listen, because you can actually hear the placement of the ensemble surrounding you as you play it. It's beautiful, it's intimate, and it's a whole new take on some tracks that you've already released.
Yeah, well, the thing about it is that he basically had me play through all the songs that I've ever written, and he picked his six favorites, and some of them have already been released through Dreaming in Stereo, but these are completely different. Originally, this was going to be a new Dreaming in Stereo project, but it ended up taking a life of its own, so I've released it as Fernando Perdomo's solo project, and Dreaming in Stereo, basically, what I'm doing is, Dreaming in Stereo was kind of like a really good mix of progressive rock and singer-songwriter music and pop. Now what I'm going to do is, the next Dreaming in Stereo record is going to be really, really into the progressive rock side.
Cool.
And this is going to be the pop side.
And getting a lot of well-deserved mileage out of these tunes. Here's a new take. We're going to do the title track first on this?
Sure.
This is called Home, right?
Yeah, this is a song called Home, which I wrote basically about the fact that I no longer have an address in Miami, and unfortunately, the family home I was born and raised in had to get sold, and this is a song about the power of the mind, being able to bring all your possessions and all your lost loved ones and everything back into your world, because that's what I have to do sometimes to be able to feel better about the fact that, you know, a lot of things are gone, and hope this song will be able to help a lot of people that have gone through the same thing.
My mind. heart versus wrecking ball. Please don't you take my home. Bank man, take it all. But please don't you take my home.
Perdomo from Home is Wherever You Are, the new one that is yet to be released, but we're getting a little sneak advance listen to it, and we have him live in the studio here with us today playing a couple of tracks from it, and also we're going to have a couple of them performed here live. So it's a real treat, man.
Thank you.
We need to correct ourselves on the release. It's actually a little bit more of an advance listen than we anticipated. September 3rd is going to be your release?
Yeah, the album's going to come out on September 3rd, which is a week from today.
Okay.
So it's going to be fantastic, and we're really, really excited to have it out. And
just a whole new flavor and a whole new angle on how they were. Had you heard these songs sort of in this context in your head before
really,
when you did them?
It's really essential to have a fresh ears.
Absolutely.
Fresh ears, check it out, because Chris wasn't as familiar with the Dreaming in Stereo stuff. And he
perfect.
He took a listen to it, and he's like, man, you know, these songs need this. They call for something more epic.
Yeah.
And that's basically what he did. He basically took some songs that were, you know, done in a tried and true rock band
There's
style.
More emotion in them now. There's the emotion that you wrote the songs with, and it's conveyed with this type of sound.
That's one thing that he definitely wanted to focus on is mm-hmm. a lot of emotion, a lot of movement, a lot of... he really worked my vocals.
For lack of a better term, sadness.
A little bit. You know what? There's sadness and hope.
Yeah.
It's a sad record, but it's a hopeful record. As you see with Smile, I mean, you know, these songs are somber, but at the same time, they have a hopeful vibe. And I think that's something that really carries on with this record. And it's really, really like a classic singer-songwriter record.
We already sort of talked about this, but what new things did you learn about instrumentation and maybe something about yourself that you didn't know before while you did this in there?
Well,
I mean, arrangement-wise and stuff, I'm sure it had to expand your production horizons
well,
a little,
I've always loved strings,
yeah.
And every Dreaming in Stereo record had its lion's share of cellos and violas.
Dare I ask if those were real or not?
100% real.
Awesome.
There's not one fake instrument on the record. Everything is all pretty much, you know, real. And the very interesting is that he brought in some incredible string players and recorded them multiple times. So basically, we're looking at like the equivalent of a 35-piece or 50-piece rock, symphony orchestra every song.
Wow.
And there's some really, really amazing players on the record, and they
what
are
What kind of
incredible.
A room did he get the players recorded in? Because I can hear it. And
He has a really, really nice studio in Doral that's just absolutely fantastic for this. And that's one of his specialties, is he actually went to school for symphonic arrangement. And he wrote out these incredible charts and handed them out to the musicians, and it was really amazing to see them just, you know, practicing and doing their thing to get these songs together. And they're very complicated. I mean, if you listen closely, there's some stuff on that's going on in the strings that I can't even think about. I can't even come up with that type of stuff.
Were you there when the players got the charts and started working them out and rehearsing? There had to be some like goosebump raising moments when you
incredibly
heard that happen.
Goosebump raising moments. There were some incredible moments where I was there watching like the French horn player and the flute player, and it's just like, man, this is real. This is like the next level of awesomeness, because it's like one thing is like, you know, when you have a band that's jamming and it's like it's really, really cool. Another thing is when you have these musicians that are so like the classical musicians, they come in and they put the music down and they sit down and they get so intense reading the music, and then all of a sudden the next level is, okay, they've nailed the part, now let's get it really emotional and let's really take it to the next level.
Right.
Let's work on the dynamics, and this record has a lot of dynamics. I mean, it's
no doubt.
There's a lot of musical emotion happening, which is amazing.
Absolutely, it is quite obvious. Now, do you mind if we do? We alternate. We played a studio track.
Sure.
You play one live, then we'll do another studio track.
Sounds
and you play
great.
One live.
Okay.
We'll go back and forth. You can have a duel against yourself on
Sounds
recording
good.
And live.
Well, this is a song that's on the record that it's a brand new song that has a really classic 70s pop vibe. And
oh, I love that.
Yeah.
I'm a huge fan of that.
Well, so. When I wrote this song, I envisioned Colin Blunstone singing it from the Zombies and Alan Parsons Project.
Yeah.
And I've actually sent it to Colin for another project. And
very cool.
But my version's coming out first, so, you know.
Right.
If Colin, you're listening, please, please consider this song for your next record.
Colin, if you're listening, please, please come on the Bill Murphy Show as a guest one of these
days. It'd be amazing. Well, he has some Miami ties.
Love to have him. He's one of my heroes.
All right. Of course.
So this song you're going to play for us now.
This song is called In a World Without You.
All right, cool. Fernando Perdomo playing live, showcasing some new arrangements on some great pieces of his live on the Bill Murphy Show.
In a world without you, there can be no love. In a world without you, there can be no us. Without you, shell of me,
In a World Without You, performed live by Fernando Perdomo on the Bill Murphy Show. Fantastic. And you can hear a version similar to that in the official release of the new one, Home Is Wherever You Are, coming out 1 week from today. How can people obtain it when that happens? All the usual suspects?
It'll be out on iTunes, Amazon, and it'll be out physically through my website, fernandoperdomo.com. And then soon it'll be on Amazon, and I'm going to go ahead and make sure it's stocked at Sweat Records and Radioactive Records in South Florida. And yeah, it's going to be out pretty much everywhere. The single for this first single, which is Smile, is going to be out on Bandcamp this week.
Nice.
The video just came out for Smile, it is... it's getting a lot of attention, and people really, really love it. So,
yet another version of Smile, which we love. Which there can't be too many of those.
Yeah, it's a song that
it can be interpreted a bunch of different ways, and you know, played a couple of different ways, as you've obviously discovered.
It's had a really interesting run, and this is by far the most epic version of it. Especially love the horns on it and the flute on it. Some really, really great local players that played on the record. Cynthia Kivlin on flute, who I went to high school with. Aliana Valenzuela on French horn, which I also went to high school with.
Right.
These are some girls I've known for over 20 years that are just absolutely fantastic. And then on the horns, we have the Swinello horn section. Chad Bernstein on the trombone and Cisco Dimas on the trumpet. And Juan Turos on the clarinet, and it's really phenomenal.
Well, on that note, let's listen to it, because it's one of my favorites, always has been, and here it is. From the yet-to-be-released brand-new Home Is Wherever You Are, here's Fernando Perdomo with, as he described it, a completely epic version of Smile.
When your sad eyes come in view, where'd you go? What did you do? Sadness don't look good on you. Smile, 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 even if it hurts. Smile, smile, even if it hurts. Smile, smile, smile.
Smile. One of those songs that is just, you know, just long enough to get the point across and just short enough to make you want to hear it again right away.
Of course. And yeah.
Really beautiful.
Really awesome listening to these tunes again.
Especially this loud in the headphones.
Oh, no, it sounds awesome. I'm really, really happy.
His ears apart.
No, it's really a good testament to the mastering that's not ripping my ears apart.
Yeah, that's very easy on the ears.
We had it mastered by Brad Blackwood, Euphonic Masters, and Brad is a Grammy Award winning mastering engineer who does all the mastering for Alison Krauss and Union Station. Mm. He also does all the stuff for North Mississippi All-Stars, for Maroon 5, for a bunch. Man, he's just go to his website, uniphonicmasters.com. He also did the mastering for Chloe DeLandis's record, and he's really did a fantastic job.
I'm always fascinated with the mastering discussions, and you just, you know, sort of kicked me in this direction right now, so let's spend a minute on that. You've worked with a lot of great mastering engineers, and you want to talk about a second set of ears and what these guys do. I've had the opportunity to sit beside some of the greatest, but just for a few minutes, and it just was a tease. It's just sometimes it's just boggles your mind how much different something sounds after you get it back from a mastering engineer.
Well, they are definitely the most important step. One of the most important steps in getting the stuff to sound like it's on.
But it's almost like they're scientists when they get in there and do what they do.
Yeah, it's an amazing art. The process is so painstaking.
So, as an engineer, and I know that we have aspiring and established engineers listening from all over the world to this show all the time. When you know that something that you're working on is going to go to a mastering engineer, how does that change your thought process in mixing? And we're talking like physically in the mixing console, whether it's virtual or analog. What do you do to do it differently? Do you leave a whole hell of a lot more headroom and use way less compression than you would and leave that stuff up to them?
Well, that's one of the things that you're supposed to do. But at the same time, also, you should definitely give it to them sounding already fantastic, and they take it to the next level.
Okay.
You know, but one of the most important arts these days is the volume wars and like making sure that
they
be able to compete with a lot of the super saturated masters.
You're going exactly where I wanted to go with this talk, so go
but,
ahead.
But
elaborate.
This record is mastered to national spec, and what I mean by national spec as in it is mastered to sound fantastic in the genre it is. Thank God I'm making this type of music because I cannot stand records that are mastered too loud.
Yeah.
And
which happened for almost the entire decade of the 90s and
The entire modern rock genre is a block. If you look at it actually on a Pro Tools, or if you've loaded into any program, you'll see that most records by artists like, you know, Three Doors Down and 3 Days Grace and
the waveforms are square.
It's just a square.
Yeah,
but this record was actually mastered with a very, very low amount of compression. It's actually a live sounding record, and some of my favorite records have come out in the last few years are very similar. Nicole Atkins' records, Glenn Hansard's records.
Now, an awesome representation of what you're exactly talking about is the fact that listening to you perform the one song you did live here and then just a couple minutes later playing the recorded version, it was almost the same sort of ambiance because it was real, you're here, and it's live. So when the similarity was there of you sounding like you were playing live with a small orchestra behind you right here in my house... That's a testament to how it's mastered because they didn't ruin it by bringing it up and limiting the crap out of it.
But you also just nailed something very important of the production process of this. It's going back to the production. It's the fact that Chris heard these songs for the first time exactly the way I just played them.
Right.
Acoustic guitar and vocal. And that's the essence of the recording. And then when it came to the mastering side of it, it was still focusing on the guitar and the vocal. And that's why I don't really have a band right now out in LA. I'm playing mostly acoustic, but it's been fantastic. It's been very, very cool because it's down to the songs and the voice and the lyrics and everything else is in people's minds. And then when they hear the record, it's not going to be so different that they're not going to like it. It's going to be the same thing they just heard, adorned.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Oh, very, very well described. And just to backtrack for 1 second on the mastering discussion, to those folks out there, the singer-songwriters that are doing their own stuff independently, the guys that are doing home studio work and stuff, and no offense to them, but if you think by putting an L2 and an EQ on the master fader that you're mastering your record, you're not.
No.
You're not doing your justice, and it is worth it if you can dish out a few bucks to actually have it go through an actual real mastering process.
My favorite mastering engineers are Zach Ziskin and Brad Blackwood. And actually, this is one of the first times I haven't used Zach, and I felt bad about it. And I was talking about it with Chloe DeLandis, and I'm like, you know, man, Zach's my guy, but I really wanted to work with Chris's team. And then he mentioned, oh, Brad's great. You know, Brad mastered Zach Ziskin's album with Chloe DeLandis.
See that?
Zach Ziskin produced Chloe DeLandis, and he had it mastered by Brad Blackwood.
You want to talk about the importance of another set of ears?
Small world,
you know?
Small world.
Well, Zach's
got the best ears in town, and you know the fact that he went to Brad is a testament. You know,
absolutely.
Which so there's really fantastic.
There's a lot to be learned there from folks that are producing your own stuff.
But
do yourself a favor and get it to a mastering engineer.
Of course.
Fernando Perdomo's new one, Home, is wherever you are. I wanted to get into a little bit more of the LA thing, so I want to say hi to all of your new and you know old LA friends that are listening to this, and that anyone listening in the LA area that has a band or someone that, or if you do and you want to get on the show, I'd be happy to have you contact me at murph@billmurphyshow.com. And we'd love to just, you know, get a sampling of what's going on in LA, some of the people that are entrenched in that music scene as well. And we're happy to be, you know, playing this for you today.
Yeah, there's some amazing stuff that's coming out of there and that has surprising Miami ties.
Are you an In-N-Out Burger fan?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So I guess you've been there a few times since you were out there.
Yes, I have.
Good for you.
I love it. It's fantastic. funny enough, in Reseda, we have an In-N-Out Burger next to a Five Guys.
Oh, how's that working out for Five Guys?
Hopefully it's doing okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, because...
Well, it's good in their own right. They're good in their own right.
Well, sometimes you don't want to be in line for 20 minutes to get a burger.
So. Well... That's true. They do get
It's an amazing testament to the quality of their burgers that
they do get you in and out in a hurry at In-N-Out.
Yeah, it's fantastic though.
This is all coming back to me because of Lefset's article last week. That was just fantastic.
Man. Yeah, totally. It was great about. He was really bashing Five Guys though. I felt bad.
I know. I come on, dude. They're not that bad.
Yeah, it's not as bad as I don't know.
Do the people at Five Guys realize the significance of getting bashed by Lefset's?
You know what?
Let's hope not.
Well, there's always musicians working at burger joints.
That's true. That's very true.
You're not going to believe what Lefset said about our job. Oh, still, no.
Still trying to get Bob on the show. How fun would that be, by the way?
Bob would be incredible to be on the show.
Please, Bob.
Yes, if you're listening...
He's just been in contact. He's too busy right now.
If you're listening, please praise my record, and then please praise Bill Murphy Show.
That's why I'm scared to have him on, because if I have him on, and all he has to do is say, I was on this awful podcast show, and I'm done.
You know what? There was this one girl that he bashed her video so bad, but in one day...
Rebecca Black?
No, it wasn't Rebecca Black. It was this amazing like singer-songwriter girl, and she got like 60,000 views because people wanted to see how bad her video was. Because it was like... Actually, because he said the best thing. He said, horrible video, and the reason what makes it more horrible is that the song is great. And he's like, this is... And then I went to her website. Her website was horrible, and then I
saw
her bio.
Well, how do you not listen and then check it out after you hear that,
you know? Because when Bob Lefsitz is a hater. And when he likes your stuff... You know you've reached gold because
absolutely.
You know he's a guillotine.
It's a fun guy to
take the wind out of your sails.
Fun guy to disagree with too. It's totally.
Yeah, man. I've had a lot of fun discussing his Lefsitz letters with people that either love him or just think he's the devil.
But how far inside industry have we gone now in this interview? It's taken an ugly turn.
Oh, it's
we're
all right.
Alienating everybody now. So
Bob, the Lefsitz letter Lefsetz letter.com, and every week is just going to turn into a you're going to have something new to read every week that's going to completely make you think about music. That's one of the things. It's like I've been starting some controversy with local media, but it's like one of the things that I have to
controversy.
Well, one of the things I have to say is love me or hate me, but I could get people to talk about local music,
right?
And that's the same thing with him. Love him or hate him, but he could totally get people to talk about
music. No
which
doubt.
Which is great. Which is awesome. Because we need more people talking about music.
And we need
especially
Bob.
In this town.
Yeah, no doubt. So when do you head back out to L.A.?
Actually, tomorrow. So all right. This was just a week.
How often will you be coming to these parts of the woods?
Every 2 or 3 months. I can't stay away too far, too long. But I love it here. This is fantastic. And I do miss it. But, you know, the way I got to tell you, this is very important. Yes, I moved to L.A., but I'm on a mission. Mm-hmm. And I'm out there and I'm hustling and I'm working really, really hard. Right now I'm producing an album for Alana Chirino, who is a Miami expatriate, the daughter of Willie Chirino. It's just coming out absolutely amazing. And My newest project is I'm working with a folk legend named Linda Perhax. Linda put out an album on a subsidiary of Universal in 1970. The album did nothing. And for 40 years, she basically was a dental hygienist, which she still is. And then one day, somebody called her and said, Linda, I have to tell you that I've been bootlegging your album. It's sold, 10,000, 15,000 copies worldwide, and I owe you money. But I also wanted to know that you have a huge fan base that wants to know how you're doing. And now she's doing music again, and we're working together on what's going to be her second record.
That's a beautiful story from this Cream Rises to the Top era that we are in, which is the best way to do it. If the stuff is good, there's ways for you to be ubiquitous, and it's happening for people, and it's a fun thing to watch.
Well, that's another great thing about the fact that the major labels are no longer calling the shots, the fact that any music of quality is getting heard.
The music is calling the shots for itself.
Of course.
Absolutely.
Of course.
Fernando Perdomo, you can follow him on forwardmotionrecords.com. We also have a link for you to like him on Facebook.
And fernandoperdomo.com as well.
fernandoperdomo.com. Too many links to mention.
But fernandoperdomo.com is the main hub for the new record, and you'll find some live videos. You'll find a way to get on my mailing list, and there's all sorts of information about the record, which is coming out on September 3rd worldwide.
Awesome.
And this has been fantastic.
And let's see you off with another live performance. It's pretty ballsy of me, don't you think, to have you playing live in my studio right next to Chris Rodriguez's productions of your stuff. You're putting me up against the wall here to make you sound good.
So. Well, that's I definitely love to rise to the occasion.
I'm masking the sound with really loud headphones.
Oh, it's fine.
Here's Fernando Perdomo. What's the song we're going to hear this time?
This one's called Lazy.
Oh, I love Lazy. It's live, yet another version of it on The Bill Murphy Show.
I'm feeling lazy today. My pillows, I'll stay. Please come back to bed. Rest with me instead. Nothing can keep us away. Oh, let's just be lazy. But the bed's way too big without you. Please come back to bed. Rest with me instead. Nothing can keep us away. Oh, let's just be lazy. Come back to bed. Rest with me instead. Nothing can keep us away. Oh, let's blow off all of the day. Oh, let's just be lazy. Oh. Let's be lazy. Oh, let's be lazy. Oh, let's be lazy.
Lazy from Fernando Perdomo. The new one is called Home Is Wherever You Are. Look for it. Links for it right here on the page for you to get access it. Get to his website, fernandoperdomo.com, also forwardmotionrecords.com. Brother, safe travels back to L.A. A live high five in the studio. Nicely done. It was beautiful. Great to have you back here. And you are officially in the Bill Murphy Show Hall of Fame, man. As I think this is, what, a fourth appearance for you?
Potentially, yeah, something with different like artists that. And stuff. But thank you so much for being one of the saints of the scene down here.
Thank you. And please continue to turn me on to all these wonderfully talented artists that you
have.
You
got it, buddy.
Fernando Perdomo. We'll get in touch with him and have him back on the next time he returns from L.A. More exciting shows coming up, booked and ready to go. Thank you for liking, rocking, and sharing. Continue to do so. Check back again. Catch you next time at BillMurphyShow.com.
You got it.
Subscribe to the Bill Murphy Show podcast for free at iTunes. You can post comments about today's show, listen to archived episodes, and like the show on Facebook by visiting BillMurphyShow.com. A presentation of Bill Murphy Productions.